Today, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 10. We're looking at just a small little portion of Scripture, 19 to 21, but we're going to bring some other stuff in, and I'm going to read it for you right now. Sin is not ended by multiplying words. Now, think about that just for a little bit. Let it go in there. But the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. There's a lot in just this tiny little portion of Scripture. But if we look at the book of Proverbs as a whole, we've talked about it before, how it was like a father to his son, and then it became for leaders and all that before, and as Israel's taken that, and Proverbs are things that we have in our own society, in our own culture. I was thinking of a few the other day as I'm in Proverbs. I was like, what's another really good one? A watched pot never boils. That's a good one. I like that one a lot because the other day I was actually watching a pot boil and I'm like, that is so true. But if you go away, you're going to burn water. Isn't that how it works? I'll be back in 2 minutes. But you stand there for 2 minutes, it still doesn't heat up. Anyways, that's Proverbs, right? The writers of Proverbs describe people, actually, I would hope that Proverbs are a little more valuable than a watch pot never boils, but anyways, it's that type of thing. But the writers of Proverbs describe people in the ancient world who used their words and body language to destroy others as evil. They described others who did that, body language and words, they described them as evil. If they winked or motioned or gave a shrug to imply some sort of guilt, they felt very safe in their actions or in their body language or sometimes in their words. Their actions were subtle, but they were also very deadly. And you know, back in the day, kings and rulers had people that they looked to, and all you'd have to do is nod. And that person knew what to do, whether it was, you know, send somebody to the prison, kill them, whatever. There's language, like their sign, body language like that. And it's very similar even in our worship teams. When you've been playing with a band for so long, you can turn around and just look at them, and they know exactly where you're going. Sometimes it's not even a look. You just look at them, and they're like, yeah, got it. That is a real thing. And in society, we do it, whether we recognize it or not. We do the same thing. Sometimes it can be for good, and other times it can be for bad. We give off body language that implies negativity towards someone else and turn around and act like, well, what? Oh, no, you misunderstood my body language. It was totally repulsed by you. Right? It's like sometimes, yes, it can be misunderstood, and we'll get to that, but it's when we do it with intention to harm. We have to be very careful. We can speak negative words about others and pretend it's concern. That's my other favorite. We put on a show. We phone someone up just to get dirt and say, you know, I've really been praying for you. Well, have you? You better have been praying for someone if you say, I've been praying for you. Or you better have been thinking about somebody when you say, hey, I was thinking about you this week. Don't say it unless you mean it. Because it's important that our words come out properly. But whether or not we speak negatively towards others or pretend it's a concern or whatever, they're both wrong actions. And today we need to ask God help in guarding our speech and guarding our body language in all situations. In all situations. So how can we become wise in our speech? How can we use wisdom in all situations regarding how we speak and act? Well, I believe these scriptures give us some very good pointers, and so does James chapter 3. And what it does is it comes down to defining what our words are used for and why we use them. Now, this isn't to beat anyone over the head, and it's not a negative thing to talk to, but it's something that we all need to watch. How many have ever been in a really bad mood and snarkily said something snotty to someone, right? Am I the only one here? I must be the only one. Over time, I've managed to check myself in those situations. And years ago, I was reading Proverbs, and this really stuck with me. And so, in fact, I had to retrain how I thought, because like I've told you before, a lot of times when I hear something negativity and negative thoughts pop in my head first before something positive does. So somebody says something to me that may be harmless in their way of saying something, I might instantly go to the negative in my mind. But I don't do it as much as I used to. But when it does happen, I have to go, no. I have to think clear. Don't go negative right away. And it was a learned behavior that I didn't like. And so I trained myself to not do that as much. Doesn't mean, I used to have this paranoia when a boss would say, can you come and talk to me in my office for a minute? And I'd be like, what did I do? Meanwhile, I'm like, and people go, oh, you're guilty. You're guilty of something because you're panicking. And I'm like, no, literally I was paranoid. I didn't know why. Why do you want to see me in your office? Why don't you just tell me right here? I'm right here. Talk to me, right? Or just tell me now. Or how about, let's have a discussion, you know, around 2:00 today. It's like, no, let's have a discussion now because I'm freaking out. And then all day long, right? And I know some bosses can play with your minds like that. And then you walk in there like, so, just want to see how you're doing. How's your vacation? It's like, woof. It's Panicville. And so we can go negative. So we can be the person on the receiving end of this someone's words and take it negatively because of our own self. Or that person could be actually being negative. Or we can be the people that lash out and be negative. Either way, we've got to be very careful about this negativity and this body language. Some people have said occasionally if I'm standing talking with somebody that they're like, oh, you looked angry. And I'm like, I don't remember being angry. I would remember being angry. A lot of times I could be just thinking my angry face and my thinking face and be like, I'm thinking about something. It's hard to say. I could bite my tongue. I don't know. It looks silly. But sometimes my body language doesn't fit with how I'm feeling. And so people would get confused. And it's the same with you. There are people that will look at you and say, why are you so angry? Right? And you're like, I'm not. I was fine until now. Thank you very much. Have you ever had that? You look horrible today. Thanks. I was feeling great until now. Right? So we can, or you look sick. Oh, I love that. That's my favorite. You look sick. Yeah, well, I'm sick right now. That's all right. From talking to you, so let's just end this. I'm joking. But honestly, we have to be very careful. And so how can we become wiser? Well, the first step is be slow to speak. This is very simple. Be slow to speak. Don't speak slowly. Be slow to speak. Many people have spoken many a words, but their words are empty of God's wisdom. We love to hear ourselves talk, which in turn makes us feel important. Why? Because people are listening to us. We have something to say. And that's okay if you have something to say. The problem is when you don't. And unfortunately, the more we speak, the more vulnerable we are to sin, to wrongdoing. And the more likely it is that we will say something that we wished we hadn't said. How many times, I count a million, I've heard people continue to talk and only to talk themselves into a sketchy situation, and then it turns out they exaggerated the truth or even lied altogether. They just continue. And it would make sense if we learned early in our lives to listen more and speak less. My wife is very good at listening. She was in Stephen's Ministries for a long time, and she's very good at listening and getting through. I think she should be a full-time counselor, but she doesn't want him, so she just likes being who she is. Can't tell her what to do. But she does listen to people and hears what they're saying, whereas not all of us have that great gift as well as she does, and it's a good thing, and I try to encourage her in that. But Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 in the NASB says, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. It's very easy to get riled up when someone says something. There's two things here. Is there ever a time when you've seen someone and you don't know them at all, but they just make you angry by looking at them? Have you ever had that? Am I the only one? It doesn't happen a lot, and of course it would be none of you. But it is not any of you. But there's some people you meet and you're just like, it instantly makes me mad. I'm just angry. Well, we got to control that stuff. I don't know what it is, but sometimes it's body language, some personality. We gotta be careful. That person's been created in God's image and it just makes you frustrated. Or somebody says something and just the tone, every time they speak, they agitate you to the core, right to the core. They make you want to do, and that's why it says someone who waits to speak will not sin, right? Because if you instantly reacted when you had that feeling of frustration or anger or whatever, you would sin. You would do something. You would act out, whether it's verbal, whether it's body language. And we do that. We do it. It happens. Maybe not to the extreme, but it happens. Or just a little, somebody says something, you're like, ugh. That right there just dismisses everything that person said and shows how you've just detached, right? So we got to be very careful. James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." In the NIV, it says, "Take note of this." Take note of this. I like that. I like that. When Scripture says to take note of something, it takes some notes. Mark it down, highlight it. James chapter 3, verse 2. James is, oh, fantastic. James chapter 3, love it. Says, "For we all stumble in many ways." I'm just going to stop right there. We all stumble in many ways. Yes, we do, don't we? We stumble in so many different ways. But he's saying, we're going to talk about your words and how you come across, your body language. And he says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. I mean, there's so much just in that. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, in how they speak, then you can control your whole body. Now, nowadays you look around and there's these positive speakers. You know, Anthony Robbins, love him. He's a big dude, cool to look at, and he talks cool. And he's just a big, burly man, and he commands an audience. I like what he has to say, because there's truth in that. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's able to bridle the whole body. So you can control your body by your words, right? This isn't like fancy, you know, American evangelism preaching. This is fact. Okay, if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. So in many ways, if you speak negativity about yourself or about others, you're going to be a negative person. If you speak positively, you're going to be a positive person. It's right there. I didn't write it. It's true. Now, what positive thinking and all that good stuff misses is that there's an author behind all of this, and that's Jesus. You can't do it without Jesus. So you need his help. You need his help. The more you say, the more opportunities you have to say the wrong thing. When we're dealing with patients or criminals or patients slash criminal together, the police come, and they're great how they deal with would-be criminals. And I just watch and love it. Because they stand there, and a lot of times they don't say a lot. They just stand there, they ask a couple questions, and these guys just spew everything. It is ridiculous how much they just spew. And the cop goes, "Thank you," writes it down, cuffs them, boom, done. It's perfect. And they don't have to say a lot. But the criminal just keeps talking and talking until he gives it up. It's fantastic to watch if you've ever, you may see it on TV. It's way too quick on TV. On TV, they show where our police officers, "Did you do it?" "No, I didn't do it." "Did you do it?" "Well, yeah, I did it." Well, it's like, whoa, that's a little quick. It takes a little bit longer, but they stand there with silence and authority, and they just cave, and they just spew it out. There are very few times after I finished a conversation, I've regretted not saying something. Like, there's very few times I've regretted being more silent in a conversation, because I can put my foot in my mouth too. But there have been many a more times where I wished I hadn't said anything at all because I felt silly about what I said and it came out weird. Have you ever said something and you're like, what was that? I never say that. Where did that come from? And we do that. And we're going to get to when that happens, what we do with that. But sometimes we would honestly be better off if we said less. So let's be slow to speak. Let's think. Secondly, is to understand before we speak judgment. So basically the old saying, think before you speak or understand before you speak, really makes a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense. If we monopolize on conversations, we tend to talk nonsense, especially when we really don't have anything to say. We can also react to others in a negative way because we fully don't understand what's going on in the conversation. If you've walked into something and you heard it and it wasn't quite, what did I walk into here? When if you were there the whole time, but then you say something to that conversation, but you don't know the whole story. And I believe that since we are made in God's image, we have a unique ability to think and use our words well. And the gift of speech has been given to us to lift others up, to lift each other up, to edify each other, as Scripture says. The old saying, I love this, make sure your mind is running before you put your mouth in gear. It has a lot of truth. Make sure your mind is running before you put your mouth in gear. Solomon wrote, he who restrains his lips is wise. And James in chapter 3 says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But he said that with the tongue we bless God who creates us, but we also curse whom he has created. You can't tame the tongue without the help of Jesus. Have you ever jumped to a conclusion about someone because of how they looked, because of what they said, because of what someone else had said, and you never give that person the opportunity to speak for themselves? We have to be very careful with the words that we use because a lot of times things are misunderstood. And how many times have we ourselves spoken negative words about someone or said something without knowing the full situation? I bet there's many that we've done it ourselves. And so we need the help of God to tame our tongue. And so Paul talks in Romans chapter 6, 1 to 13. He says that we need to make a choice to present our body and parts of our body as instruments of God's righteousness. If we look at Romans chapter 6, 13, it says, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, we must learn to watch our words and know what we're talking about before we speak. Whether we're talking with friends, talking with our neighbors, or talking with coworkers, let's remember that in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Meaning when people speak and there's lots of talk, sometimes it can get silly. Ask God to help you watch your words and understand what you're speaking before you make some type of decision or judgment on someone else. The third step is always check the heart. Okay? Matthew 15, 18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. In Matthew 12, 34, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. Proverbs 10, 31, 32, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted. Okay, who has the ability to bear fruit? We do. We've talked about this before, to bear the fruit of wisdom. The righteousness that we bring, brings like the righteous people, the righteous, those that are holy, those that believe in God, those that love Jesus, the righteous, we are righteous in his eyes. They bring forth wisdom. They bring out and pull out wisdom, meaning they know how to communicate. We should know how to communicate that which is true, which is good, and suitable for the conversation that we're having. We need to know what we're talking about. We need to understand. Verse 32 indicates that the just person knows what to say. The just person. He knows what to say. She knows what to say in each setting that is appropriate for what needs to be said. And it's acceptable. And so when they're bearing that fruit of wisdom, of pure speech, it's like a tree. It's like a fruit tree that's bringing forth its fruit. It's the natural results of righteousness. It's the natural results of health that a tree produces good fruit. We need to produce good fruit. And this brings forth is literally, in Scripture, bears fruit. Because a tree naturally produces good fruit, so our wise words should be natural. We should naturally be producing positive words to others, not being negative, not being cutting down, not hurting others just for our own good time. You'd think we would learn from a young age and early in life to measure our words before we say them, but we tend to get caught up in things. It's important that we listen. You know that old saying, measure twice, cut once? I learned that the hard way. You should see my crown. It was atrocious. My crown molding, a disaster. And I still can't, I can measure 100 times. I'm still never going to get that one, right? But the point is, we need to be careful. We need to be very careful. So before you say something, think twice, then speak. Think twice and then speak. Is this uplifting? Is this worthwhile? Or am I just saying this to make myself feel better? We need to check our heart, but we also need to check the heart of the person that's speaking to us that has hurt us. Is that person normally like this? Is there something else going on? We've got to be very careful here. Because any one of us could say something off the cuff by not being wise, and it hurts someone, but we don't normally do that, so our heart is usually in the right place. And so we need to have a heart of graciousness and love and forgiveness. If you are the offender, check your heart, check the heart, and ask forgiveness. If you are the offended, check the heart and forgive. Now, this does not include those that are out to hurt others just for fun. This doesn't include that. If someone is being horrible, that's a different story. That's a whole other sermon we could deal with at another time. But I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me dealing with others in a normal setting. We have a choice. It's up to us on how we speak. Somebody says, well, that's just who I am and that's how I speak. No, no, no. You're choosing not to filter. Filter is a beautiful word. You know, have you ever had someone that you said, they just got no filter? Well, what we do is we take that and we go, well, they're just being honest to themselves. Sometimes be honest to yourself, but not to other people. It's okay to feel a certain way. And like we've said before, but those feelings might be misplaced or not understood, because we didn't check the heart or we didn't know all the information involved in that. So we make a judgment call on one comment from a third, fourth, fifth party. We can't do that. You can go to the source if it's that concerning and within your right and power to understand and ask. But we don't judge instantly. We don't do that. We check the heart. We find out what's going on and we're very slow to speak. So we have to ask ourselves, do our words generally give life and build others up? Because that's what we're here to do. Or do they tear others down? I want to challenge you this week. Check yourself each week before you say something. I was just going to say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's my cool millennial talk. But check your heart. Check their heart. Know what's being said. Understand what's being said and be slow to speak. That change of speech comes from a change in our heart. And that change of heart comes from knowing Jesus. There were times Jesus was very strong and very harsh, and you know those times, when he was very strong and said things specifically either to stir it up or to get people mad or just tell them, hey, guess what? No, this ain't happening. And there is a time for that, but you need to be wise. Ask God to give you that new heart. Maybe you're like, well, I believe in Jesus. I have Jesus in my heart. So, you know, for some strange reason, my filter just keeps getting bypassed. You need to work on it. We all need to work on it all the time, every day, minute by minute, day by day. There are times when you're standing out in the real world getting your coffee at a restaurant and somebody just irritates you. You're not being served properly, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. Whatever it is, you're standing in TSA and they decide to put you through the scanner or they put you through a whole bunch of stuff that you're like, this is ridiculous, whatever. Just calm down and relax and watch what you say. Yeah, you're grumpy. I get it. It happens. We're all grumpy sometimes. But watch what you say. If you feel like saying it, think about it. And a good rule of thumb is think it, give it a day, and come back to it. And then if you really need to deal with it, then deal with it. But sleep on it. You don't always need to say something. Sometimes silence is a beautiful thing. And it just lets everything else fall in line. You don't have to say anything. Because if you know it's right and they don't, just leave it alone and let it work itself out. You don't need to be all uptight about everything. Life's too short to be getting all uptight, getting high blood pressure and your everything going all the pot. Don't get all stressed out over this stuff, what people say. I actually find humor in sometimes when people are really mad. And it's hard for me not to laugh. There's a couple songs, and I won't get into those songs that are out there in the, you know, internet land, that talk about, you know, I'm sorry, but I laugh when I should cry, you know, those kind of things. Well, when people get really, really angry and they say weird things, I laugh. And it's not out of disrespect to them. It's actually out of, I just can't, it just happens. And I try to control it. But if they say silly things, it makes me kind of chuckle, right? Because it's like, well, what are you doing? Why are you being like this? Like, we don't need to do this, do we? Can we just talk normal? And I have to behave myself. I have to watch. I can't just have a good gut-wrenching laugh and hit the floor while they're raging on me. That's just going to make the situation worse. But it's unfortunate that we have to get there. And honestly, in your life, are there really a lot of things other than God, family, you know, close friends, that kind of stuff, that you need to get that angry about? Someone cut you off? It's frustrating, trust me. Drivers, man, I don't know how anyone survives driving on these roads nowadays, but it's frustrating. Watch what you say. The last thing you need is someone going, hey, I saw you driving down the road and you were flipping someone off as you were driving by. Praise the Lord. No, that's not what you said. It wasn't quite those words. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. You know, maybe keep it in your mind or mutter it under your breath, but just don't yell it out loud. Get control. Remember, we got to speak slowly. And we need to know what we're talking about, right? We really do. And we need to check the heart of those that we're talking to and our own heart. Let's pray. Father,